You may be seated. I will tell you that Bishop, as his new title is, as of Wednesday night in the business meeting, for those of you who don't know, Pastor, we changed his title to Bishop. He is in Hershey this morning preaching, and he says hello, sends his greetings, all that stuff, and misses being with you. But he is here in spirit, and I know he's wishing he was here in body, but he is ministering out of town this weekend. But this morning, I just want to preach very simply on faith. The title we'll get into in a little while, if they can do it, but the theme of the message is faith. Faith is such a broad word or idea, and I'll just warn you up front, it may be a little more teaching than preaching, but we'll get into it, kind of get slowly into this, and we're going to break some things down line by line, and I believe that God's going to minister, amen? But faith is such a broad topic. What do you mean, faith? You could preach on faith for weeks, and different aspects of faith, and different avenues of faith, and faith in different things, and faith literally, when it comes down to it, means believing in something you cannot see. In our context, would be a religious thing, like in a sense of believing in God. Cannot see him, but we believe in him. And that's literally what it means, but such a simple definition for such a complicated topic. We all really have faith. We know what faith is, believe it or not. We just take for granted the things that we have faith in. You can't see the air that's required for you to be alive, but we breathe. And we know it's there because we've experienced it. From the first few moments of life, when you enter this world, it is crucial that you take a breath, and you're going to need to fill your lungs with breath. And having a child recently, we learned how crucial that was. It was several minutes before that happened, and it was like, this can't last very long. It was very intense, and so air, we just take it for granted. But that's kind of the idea. You can't see it. The Bible says the wind bloweth where it listeth. You hear the sound thereof, but who knows where it came from? You can't see it, but you've experienced it. You've felt it. You've felt the wind blowing. You've experienced breath going into your body. When you turn on a light switch, except for those explained instances where a power outage or we didn't pay the bill, we have faith that the lights are going to come on. There have been times where the lights didn't come on. Sometimes a storm happened, and sometimes different kind of storm happened, didn't pay the bill. They shut her off, had a note hanging on the door, and there was no power in that. But we understand that when we turn a light switch on, we expect a result. That's faith. We have faith in many things in life, and God has placed a great deal of importance on faith, so much so that the scriptures tell us that it is impossible to please God without it. Simply put, you can't see God, so you're going to have faith just to come to him. And if you don't have the faith to come to him, then there's no relationship established. There can be no forgiveness of sins. There can be no relationship. Therefore, we cannot live a life that's pleasing to God. So it's necessary to have faith. The scripture tells us that you have to believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Your whole relationship or walk with God is predicated on you and I simply believing that he is. But why is it so hard to trust him? Why is it so hard to trust God with the issues in our life that matter? And as I was so challenged with this scripture, we find it, let me throw the question out there. Is it easy to believe in something you cannot see, aside from air that we all have experienced, and it is fail-proof until you are without it? But is it easy to believe in something you cannot see? Is it easy to live with a promise that you haven't seen fulfilled? Is it easy to live with family members that you want so badly to understand and come to God and have what you have and they haven't come yet? To want healing, to want restoration in your life. Is it easy to believe that when you haven't seen it? No, it's not. I think we would all agree with that. It is not easy. It's not easy always to trust God when it looks like there's no answer in sight, when it looks dark and there's just no way out of this situation. Faith is very simple to understand, but man, can it be so difficult to put into practice. It is hard to walk by faith at times because the mountain seems insurmountable. The mountain seems immovable. It's like, I don't have it in me to climb that mountain. I don't have it. A car was following me yesterday over a mountain. I was driving, and I was trying to outrun him because he was right on my bumper, so I'd speed up, and he was speeding up, and finally got my Jetta fixed, so I was having a little fun, and I put it in sport mode. And this guy's in a Jeep, so I can't let him catch me. And a big old clunky Jeep with mud tires. I can hear the mud tires rapping. I'm flying. I'm like, this guy's on my tail. So I punched it a little harder and speeding up a little bit and punched it a little harder. And then I turn around, and I see smoke rolling under his hood. I'm like, should have bought a Jetta. I did ask if he was okay. It was just the radiator. He's like, I'll be fine. Calm down. He had water in the back. He was fully expecting that to happen. But it's so hard to understand God sometimes. It's hard to believe. And as I was, it's like that mountain. It's hard to get over that mountain sometimes. It's hard to get past that obstacle sometimes. What obstacle do you have in your life that you look at that you're like, man, I just don't know how I'm going to get over that. I don't know how I'm going to get through that. And that's what happens. We start out very strong. We start out good. Everything's good. And then a situation happens, and it's like, boy, this one's going to be tough. I don't understand this one. I don't know how I'm going to get through this. See, many people are able to believe that God can do certain things for them, but then comes that problem, that one problem, that one big setback, that one bad report, the one day that just goes from bad to worse, and suddenly we just don't think God has it in him to do what we need done. And as I was praying about this last night, I was so moved because I felt that I can relate to this, but I also know that God wouldn't give me a message that was just to me. He'd do that in my own time, and he wouldn't just keep lying. So I know that there are people here that need to hear this, that are up against some things right now, that they need some victory, that they need some faith, that they need the ability to understand, how is this going to work out? Maybe you don't get the answer to how it's going to work out. Maybe it's not a map that's just drawn out for you, but maybe you can just understand that God has it under control, that God is working all things together, that God has a plan for your life. I know that it seems like he doesn't. I know, I've talked to too many people, and I've been through too many valleys myself to think that it doesn't get dark sometimes, to think that life just really doesn't make sense sometimes, to think that how is this going to work out? I had a situation this week where at my job, I worked side by side with a guy for a couple years, and we were great friends, and then I moved into another position, and he stayed at the position we were at, and we maintained a friendship, and he calls me the other day, and he's driving a truck, and he's like, well, I'm done. I'm like, what do you mean you're done? I got pulled over the third time in 6 months in a DOT regulated job. That's not a good situation. I'm like, oh, you gotta be kidding me, bud. What happened? The same cop that got him the last time got him for something. I'm like, oh no. So this cop had no mercy on him. So I'm like, oh boy, this is gonna be tough. So I'm like, well, just get back here as quick as you can. I'll deal with it when you get here. I started making phone calls, found out, well, you gotta terminate. You gotta suspend him first, then you gotta terminate him. I'm like, oh, he's my friend. Can somebody else do that? I don't want to do that. Nope, you're his boss. Congratulations, here you go. I'm like, great. So he's like, what am I gonna do? I said, I don't know. I don't know what you're gonna do, man. I don't know. I did tell him, I said, be praying for you. That's the go-to answer, isn't it? But I meant it. And I know that he did some praying, and he doesn't come to church. He's not a religious person by any stretch of the imagination. But he did do some praying, and he has a religious background. That was on Thursday. On Friday morning, I found out there's a certain law that was passed, and this certain thing that he did actually is not a DOT violation. So guess what? I got to call him and tell him, you actually have a job. You're not fired. Did that mountain look insurmountable? Yes. There were a lot of things in his life that he could not afford for that to happen. I believe he's going to come to church because of that. I really believe that God's going to touch his life because of that. And that's how it starts with God. When you walk up against things that, man, and that was a bad day, a really bad day for that guy. It really is a bad day for me, but all I had to do was tell him the news. He's the one that had to live with it. It was a bad day. And we've all had those days. And I think there's some people in here today that are in some of those bad days. And when you look at the scriptures, there are story after story after story. I'm going to go to Hebrews chapter 11, and I'm just going to go down through verse by verse. And I don't have a lot of catchy personal stories. I'm going to let the Word tell us some stories this morning. And we're going to relate those and see how those stories really apply to us. Okay, Hebrews chapter 11 is the hall of faith, as they would call it. That's the heroes of the Bible. That's the Moses and the Noah and the different, all the great people, Abraham and Isaac and Jacob. And they're all mentioned in that scripture that they all had faith for certain situations. And when we read that from just a overshot, when we're sitting down with our coffee in the morning, it's like, oh, well, he had faith to offer a son. I'm never going to have to do that. That doesn't apply to me. No, he had faith to do what God asked him to do. He had faith to do the thing that God was putting on his heart, the thing that God was directing him to do, is how that relates to our life. Is God going to ask you to sacrifice your kids? I don't think so. I don't think. He may. He did him. But I don't think so. So no, that specific thing doesn't apply, but the obedience and the principle of it does. In Hebrews chapter 11 and 1 says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good report. Amen. God takes notice of your faith. It says the elders obtained a good report. How awesome would it be to have God say that about you, that you obtained a good report, that you lived a good life? Why? Because they had faith. Faith is an important thing with God. Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. Through faith we believe that God literally spoke and the world was made. So how big is your problem? See, it says it was made out of things that are not seen. It wasn't like he ran through the universe saying, well, there's some trees, the universal Walmart, and there's some grass, and there's some rocks, and there's some dirt, and there's some sand. And he just gathered all this material and said, well, all right, now I got this, and I can snap it together, and we can put a desert over here, and a pasture over here, and a tree here. He literally spoke, and things that were not even around began to be formed by the spoken word of God. So what is it in your life today that you really don't have faith that God can do it? He created the worlds by the spoken word of his mouth. He said, it says in the Bible, in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. How did he do it? It says, and God said, let there be light. It says, and God created man. He spoke things. He didn't have to come down here and form this and get this. You talk about the Big Bang and all of that. Yes, it was. He spoke and it happened. That's how it happened. By faith, Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and by it being dead yet speaketh. See, God is a God of detail and a God of order. He's a righteous God. He cares about the things that we do and how we do them. He cares whether we obey his word or we don't. He cares if we really pay attention to what he's laid on us to do, the commandments that he's given us to do. And oftentimes we think God doesn't even know where I'm at. He ain't watching me. There's no way God can see me. There's no way God even knows I exist. I got everything going wrong. I got 99 problems and the 100th one's on the way. I got all this stuff and God does not even know where I'm at. And in this story, it tells us that he was watching two men in a field offering sacrifices. He knew exactly where they were at. And God knows exactly where we are at. And sometimes the reason we can't break through some things is because the sacrifice, the thing that we're offering God, we know in our heart we're not giving him everything. And he's waiting. And he's watching. And the one that did give him the right sacrifice was blessed. And he's watching. And he knows exactly where you're at in your life. By faith, Enoch was translated that he should not see death and was not found because God had translated him. For before his translation, he had his testimony that he pleased God. God literally took Enoch from this life. There was no funeral for Enoch. There was no flower arrangement in a graveyard, in a burial service. How crazy is that to think that you can literally be taken from this life? Boom, where'd Jacob go? I don't know. God took him. He was righteous. He pleased God. He had faith. Wow, go Jacob. No longer shall you be called Jacob. You'll be all over the tabloids. You'll be all over everything. Man disappears. God took him. Yeah, right. This happened. So what is it that you need God to take you out of? What situation do you need delivered from in your life that you think God can't come down and take you out of that situation? What situation are you struggling with? By faith, Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is by faith. God warned Noah what was coming to this earth, and Noah heeded the warning and was saved. Do you believe that God can talk to you? Do you believe that you can wake up one morning, literally go to your kitchen table, get a cup of coffee, simply just pray, or maybe not even be thinking about anything, God can say, you're going to have a rough day. You're going to lose your job. But it's going to be all right. So somebody's going to pass away. But I'm going to give you the strength to get through. Do you believe that can happen? I do. I've had it happen. When we went to my parents' house a few weeks ago, back in January, and there was snowing outside, my mom said, why don't you guys come over? We'll all just get snowed in together. We went over there. We weren't there long. We got a phone call. It was my grandmother was being rushed to the hospital. The doctor called my sister aside that was there with her and said, it's not good, you need to get the family here. She doesn't have long. It was a very emotional time. Things got very real very quick. And I was sitting, it was a couple hours later, she was holding on. And my dad and I, he couldn't leave and get in the car and drive because it was a blizzard was coming and it was all across the Midwest and everything. Wouldn't make sense to go. And we were talking about it, and I literally told him, I said, Dad, at home I have a journal, and I don't write in it every day, but a lot of days I'll sit down and scribble something down, or in this particular journal, it was new, it was the first entry that I had. And I had on there that it's going to be a great year, because it was in January 1st when I wrote this. I had off work that day. I remember writing that, and I put on there will be dark days. Someone is going to pass away. And I felt that. And I lived with that for a few days, and I knew it. I knew it was going to happen. I didn't know who. God didn't tell me who it was or anything, but I prayed about it. And when it happened, I dreaded that day and I believe that he did that for a reason, because I dreaded her passing away, not just because I dreaded her passing away. That was the biggest reason. But she asked me to speak at her funeral, and I said, Mom, I can't do that. Oh, yeah, you can. I'm like, I can't do that. I said, I'm the biggest crybaby in the family. I'll never get through it. I can't do that. And she said, oh, yeah, you can. I want you to. I'm like, well, okay. And I really believe that God let me know that so I could begin to prepare. And when the time came, I did speak. And did I break down and cry? No. Cried a little bit. We got through it. And the grace of God was there for me when I needed it. God can warn you of things that are coming. God can speak to you. God cares about what you're going through. He cares about exactly where you're at. By faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receiving an inheritance, obeyed and went out, not knowing whither he went. He didn't even know where he was going. God asked him, and you need to go, and he went. How many times do we feel like we're just aimlessly wandering around? Man, I just wish that God would call me to something. I wish God would give me direction. I wish God would tell me how it's going to work. I wish God, and we don't know, because all God gave us was a word to go. Just go. And we get so frustrated walking around that promise and walking through it and all of this stuff, and it's so heavy and it weighs on us. And like Abraham, he just went and he walked, and the hand of God was upon him. Verse 11, through faith also Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed and was delivered of a child when she was past age, because she judged him faithful who had promised. Sarah was way past childbearing years. She was facing a total impossibility in her life. It could not be done. No way was this going to happen. Her faith, though, happened. Her faith came into play. There was a lady that held on to a promise for a whole lot of years. And though it looked like it was past time, give up on that one, that ain't going to happen. Miss that opportunity, it's never going to happen. Her faith happened. And God reached down, and she was able to conceive, and she bare a child. So what promise have you just about given up on because you haven't seen it come to pass? What family member have you been praying for years, wanting them to come, and just knowing that, I wish they would come. I know God wants them to come. I know God's reaching for them. I wish they would respond. I wish, I wish, I wish. Don't give up on that. Don't give up on that promise, because God knows exactly what that need is. He knows exactly what it takes to get that need done. He knows exactly what needs to take place in that person's life to fulfill that need. We all face daily impossibilities. We do. We face things all the time. How do we get through that? We need to learn to walk by faith, believing that God has it under control. By faith, Abraham, when he was tried, offered up Isaac, and he that had received the promises offered up his only begotten son, of whom it was said that in Isaac shall thy seed be called, accounting that God was able to raise him up even from the dead, from whence also he received him in a figure. He did what God asked him to do by faith. By faith, Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau concerning things to come. By faith, Jacob, when he was dying, blessed both the sons of Joseph and worshipped, leaning upon the top of his staff. Listen to that. By faith, when he was dying, he worshipped. Faith gets you through the darkest, most miserable, most scary, unknown days of your life. It will get you through that time. There are people nowadays with hospice and everything, they tend to provide so much medication that they're a lot of times not even aware of surroundings or what is going on. But before, in days past, I've heard many stories. My dad has told them, and I've never personally witnessed this, but I've heard them talk about it, how when the medication wasn't involved and people were dying and they knew in that moment they weren't right, it was not a peaceful death. It was not a everybody standing around holding hands telling stories about grandpa. It wasn't peaceful. It wasn't fun. Why? Because there was no peace in that. But faith can cause you to lay there in your last moments of life, your darkest days, literally, and worship and say, I'm going home. I'm going to my reward. And not just in death, but in dark days in your life when everything clouds up on you and it just does not seem possible. Faith is what gets you through that. Understanding faith. By faith, Joseph, when he died, made mention of the departing of the children of Israel and gave commandment concerning his bones. By faith, Moses, when he was born, was hid 3 months of his parents because they saw he was a proper child and they were not afraid of the king's commandments. Moses' parents had faith. It didn't matter what the government said. It didn't matter the decree. It didn't matter that he was a child that was born that was supposed to be killed. It didn't matter. They had faith in God to make a stand for what they believed in. How hard is that in our world today? To stand against the status quo, to stand against the pressures of social media, to stand against the government, to stand against the reigning party or the loudest party, or to not want to be associated with this party or not want to be, and to be in the middle and not be tolerant and not, and you're poured and pulled every side and battered. How hard is it to stand? But his parents stood because they had faith. It didn't matter the king's commandment because they served a higher king that had a commandment. Didn't matter of all that stuff. By faith, Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy pleasures of sin for a season. By faith, he refused to be called the son of Pharaoh. He refused to be called anything but what he really was, by faith. By faith, he refused to be called anything but what he really was. What are you this morning? Come on, you ought to have enough faith to be called anything but apostolic. You're apostolic. You have the power and the anointing of God. You can literally lay hands on the sick and they can recover. You can lay hands on the blind and they can receive sight. You can lay hands on any situation and God can reach down. And we need to have enough faith to be called anything but a child of God, anything but an apostolic child of God that's filled with His Spirit. That's filled with His power and His anointing. I'm not a child of this world. I'm not a child of all of the success of this world. I'm not a product of all of that stuff. A lot of us in this room, many in this room, everybody in this room really, to some level and to some degree has attained a level of success. You've had jobs and careers and ministries and you've gone places, you've done things, you've seen things, you've traveled. But at the end of the day, does that define you? Are you the child of Pharaoh? Pharaoh in Egypt or a type of sin? Is that where you identify? Carrying on from that scripture, it says, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. By faith he forsook, he being Moses, forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. Notice Moses' parents were not afraid of the wrath of the king. And when it came time for Moses to make a stand, Moses was not afraid to withstand the wrath of the king. The decisions that you and I make, younger people are watching them. Your children are watching them. The peers underneath you are watching them. They're watching the decisions that you make, and someday they're going to have to make those decisions. And they can remember, Mom and Dad didn't do that. I don't have to do that. Think about it next time you compromise. Think about it the next time that you know what you're doing is wrong. Think about it the next time you override that sense inside of you that I really shouldn't be doing this right now. We shouldn't be watching this. We shouldn't be listening to this. But it's all right. Think about that, because that little child is experiencing that with you. And someday they'll compromise too. They'll be right there. Through faith he kept the Passover and the sprinkling of blood, lest he that destroyed the firstborn should touch them. By faith they passed through the Red Sea as by dry land, which the Egyptians, essaying to do, were drowned. By faith, the walls of Jericho fell down, and they were compassed about 7 days. By faith, the harlot Rahab perished, not with them that believed not, when she had received the spies with peace. And what shall I more say? For time would fail me to tell of Gideon and of Barak and Samson and Jephthah and David also and Samuel of the prophets, who through faith subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong, waxed valiant in fight, turned to flight the armies of aliens. Women received their dead raised to life again. Others were tortured, not accepting deliverance that they might obtain a better resurrection. And others had a trial of cruel mockings and scourging. Yea, moreover, of bonds and imprisonment. They were stoned, they were sawn asunder, were tempted, were slain with sword. They wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, and tormented, of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in deserts and mountains and in the dens and caves of the earth. And these all, having obtained a good report through faith, received not the promise, God having provided some better thing for us, that they without us should not be made perfect. And after all of that, talking about faith and what faith can do, Paul issues a challenge here in chapter 12 and says, wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. I believe that we are challenged today that if they can do it, what is stopping you? If they can subdue kingdoms, if they can raise the dead, if they can lay hands on the sick and they recover, if they can withstand the orders of the government of their day, if they can withstand the peer pressure of their day, if Daniel can be cast into a lion's den because there was a decree came out, don't you pray, nobody can pray anymore. And the king signed it, wasn't thinking about Daniel when he did it, signed the decree. Daniel, what did he do? Knew about the decree, was faithful to his God, had faith in his God, went and opened his window and prayed just like he always did. And then they said, oh, king, remember Daniel? Well, he broke the law. Guess what? He's got to die because you signed it. So the king was torn, but he had to do it. He honored it. What did he do? He cast him into the lion's den. Now, when you think of that story, we look at children's books, and it's cute, and there's these big furry cats in there, and Daniel's just sitting on the steps, and there's one of those old torches on the wall beside him, and they're all just laying around at his feet. But friend, let me tell you something. It probably wasn't like that. I have been to the zoo. I have been to the zoo, friend, and when that lion comes up to the glass and everybody's pecking on it and he's just watching, and all of a sudden he moves and he flinches and everybody's like, ooh, and there's like 6-inch glass between you and it, or you hear the roar of a lion, it is not something that you would want to have happen to you. It wasn't a little thing. But by faith he walked in there and the lion's mouths were shut. Come on, if they can do it, what's stopping me? What's stopping me? If they can endure hardships and beatings and tortures and shipwrecks, heartaches, imprisonment, all of those things for the sake of Christ, what is holding me back? We're admonished to lay aside the weight and the sin that so easily besets us or causes us to stumble. Why do we struggle with that? When a runner takes the track, they have not 1 ounce of extra weight on them. They get the lightest clothes, the lightest shoes. They even shave their arm and leg hair because they do not want it to create resistance. Bicyclists, swimmers, and runners, they get rid of everything that could hinder them winning and completing that race. Everything. What's our excuse? Why do we hold on to so many things? Come on, my story, I want it to be like those men, that I obtained a good report. Why? So somebody could talk about my report? No. No. Because that's my story. That's me living it. That's me, and that's you. So what's stopping you? What is it that you need God to do in your life? What is it that you need God to reach down and intervene in that situation? What is it? The way to do that, you can find it in Hebrews 12:2. It says, looking unto Jesus, the author, originator, and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. Looking unto Jesus for the joy that was set before him, future, down the road. He endured the cross. There was no momentary satisfaction in the cross. There was nothing enjoyable about that. There was nothing pleasant about the cross. But for the joy, what was that joy? That joy was looking down in time and seeing me and seeing you and seeing your unsaved family and seeing generations of people of all colors and ages and races and anything that you want to throw in there, looking at all people down through time and watching them and offering the opportunity for salvation to write their name in the Lamb's Book of Life. Looking down through time at broken marriages and broken homes and healing them and putting them back together. Looking down through time and seeing sicknesses and disease and healing them. Looking down through time and seeing a lost person come to an altar and lift their hands to God and tears fall down their face and repent for their sins and God reach down into their life and change them and make them new. Looking down through time and seeing your situation that you have with you right now today. But see, it was easy to believe all that other stuff that I just said because that applies to somebody else. Looking down through time and seeing the person sitting next to me. Looking down through time and seeing the disease that that person has. Looking down through time and seeing that busted home. Looking down through time and seeing that relative that's impossible that I'll never get them to come to church. Looking down through time and seeing that need is so believable. But when he looked down through time and saw you, and he saw your need, becomes a little more real. And that's where faith comes into play. Real faith. It's not really faith for me to believe that he can do it for you. It is, but if I can't believe that he can do it for me, do I really have faith? Oh, I'll rejoice. You know, you go ahead and get your healing. I'm going to die, is basically the attitude. Don't believe that God really can do that. Don't really know if God can do that. And all that God wants from you and I today is a chance to be God. He wants us to have enough faith to call out to him and trust him. The scripture says he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. The greatest reward we can ever be given is salvation in his name. And when this life is said and done, to make heaven our home. That's not a polluted type of reward. That's not saying he's a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. You're going to have a mansion if you'll come to this altar and pray. Not on this life. Over in glory, you'll have a mansion. Maybe you will. I don't know. Maybe you have a job and you'll provide that. But that's not what it's talking about. He's a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. He answers those needs. Call unto me and I will answer you and show you those things. Call unto me. But he puts it on us. Call on me. He's a perfect gentleman. He's not going to come and just say, I know you're too afraid to ask for it, so... And you're just, everything's fixed. That's not how it works. How many people have you talked to that have just been sitting there thinking, and all of a sudden God just poof, and blows them over? He puts it on us. There has to be a hunger inside of us. There has to be just that smallest amount of faith. The scripture says there was a man that came to Jesus and said, Lord, I believe, but help my unbelief. Like I'm struggling here. Nothing wrong with that. To say, God, help me. Because just by that request, there was enough faith that God could step on the scene, that Jesus could step on the scene and begin to move and begin to touch that situation. What is it that you need God to do today? The question that I would ask you to think about as we stand together, we're going to open the altar if you'd like to come pray. The question thrown to you today that's served to your court, that's in your hands to do something about, is would you have just a little bit of faith in God? If somebody in this room would have just enough faith to make that first step, God would meet you in that situation. God would meet you right there. We read all down through that chapter, every need that they had, every battle that they faced, everything. All of those things relate in some way or another to our, they are timeless principles. They relate to us now. We can experience those things. God is there for us, helping us. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. If you call on him, he will answer you. So what is it that you need God to do today? Would you believe him? Would you make your way to an altar and just simply say, it doesn't have to be anything fancy, King James Version talking, oh thou God, help me. It doesn't have to be anything crazy. The simple way to call on God is just say, God, I need you. I'm having a hard time believing in my situation right now. I believe, but you're going to have to help my unbelief because I'm just not totally there yet. I know that you've got a plan for my life, God, but I'm not just totally there yet. I know that you've got a direction for my life, but I'm not there yet to where I can just grab hold of it and run with it. I need help. I'm struggling, God. I need salvation. I need provision. I need financial provision. I need a touch of God in my family. I need some members of my family to feel the presence of God and to begin to hunger after God. And I need God to intervene in some health situations. And I need God to give me some confidence. And I need God to do that thing in my life. But I'm having a hard time struggling with that, God. I'm really struggling. And I'm coming today to make that first step. And if you'll meet me here, I'll call on you and I'll believe you.